Einar and Ophelia, right?
Yeah.
You are the singer and the piano player of Einar Strey Orchestra. It's named after you.
Yeah.
So you are the founder of this great
Actually,
band.
Ophelia was in the band as well when we first started. So you could say that she's a founding member as well. So we are the founding members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years.
10 years, actually.
And you play the cello, Ophelia.
Yeah. Mainly the cello, yes.
But there have been some changes in your band in the last years. So people left you, people were new.
Mm.
Yeah, it's... Even though I miss the old guys, I really like the fact that we're changing the setup sometimes. It just happens naturally. People need to do other things in their lives. But I love it because new blood comes in. And for example, Maja Thoresen, who is the new violin player for 2 years now, she's from the folk scene. So she brings in this whole new style of playing a violin. And also Steinar is coming from like more rock and roll kind of experimental background. It's just really refreshing.
Yeah. And I thought in the beginning that it was preferably to have like the same people in the band for the rest of our lives. But when we got these two new people, I thought this is really, yeah, really refreshing. But now, of course, I want this lineup to be for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
But would you say you have a new sound now with these new people? And how do you play the old stuff?
Yeah, well, I think we have renewed our sound in a way. We still have the same like fundamental things, but Steinar and Maja has brought so many new ideas into the band, and also the rest of us, we became older and we always try to experiment with things. So I would say the new album is kind of a new thing, but we're still like the same. We have the same values and the kind of ground ideas. And it's also very refreshing for the old songs because we play them at kind of as they were made in the beginning, but with some new twists and just a fresh sound, I would say.
And much more form of expression, is what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, the description of your music or sound is like Arab folk, Stravinsky, Japanese metal, and Lana Del Rey. It's a funny combination.
We just listen to whatever feels fresh to us, you know, whatever feels inspiring to us. We try to look in all kinds of different parts of the world or different genres because, yeah, there's so many things you can find. It's just like if something is fresh and inspiring, it can be old and it can be new and it can be from anywhere. We try and bring it into our pop and rock sound and to spice it up.
We don't want to limit ourselves to a specific type of music or a sound and influences. We just take what we play, what we want to play, and we listen to what we want to listen to. And most of the time we want to listen to a lot of different things, and we also want to play a lot of different things.
Would you say that you created something new because of this mixture, and does the critiques think the same way?
Yeah, definitely. I don't like when people say that you can't really make new music, because I think when you have different people in the same room trying to make something together, especially, then it becomes something new, because we have so many different backgrounds and so many different thoughts about what kind of music we want to make, and together it's definitely something new, because this kind of combination has never been done, you know.
Yeah.
And also there are some really, really new genres coming, you know, still, even though people are saying that, oh, you know, everything is based on the old music, I don't like to see it that way. I think there's definitely always somehow possible to turn it into something completely new. And the reviews has been really good, and we do get credit for trying to push everything, push the pop and rock concept to something interesting.
Yeah, It's also kind of difficult to see it from the inside because we make the music, and it's difficult to see the and listen to the music from the outside. So even though we feel like we do something new, you can't really tell. But since the reviews, they often describe us as something different than a lot of other things. And so that's a kind of confirmation that we might make something new in pop music scene.
Yeah.
And you combine classical music with pop music. I mean, your name is Aina Stray Orchestra, and it's sometimes really with the strings and really orchestral.
Yeah, I think why we like that name is because you definitely get that vibe, but we also want to play a little bit with the word, you know, because we are essentially also a rock band. So it's kind of fun to just use that word, because that word originally just means band. Mm. It just means a constellation mm-hmm. of musicians playing together.
Yeah. But in Germany, orchestra, it means more the classical.
Yeah, in Norwegian as well.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think it's a very including name. Mm-hmm. It's a very, as you said, wide expression kind of. And since we also have violin and cello, people will associate it with classical orchestra. But then we play more like pop rock music.
We can do whatever we want to do, and that's very important for us.
Yeah, okay. Feels free.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about the latest record, Dear Bigotry. You are known to deal with topics or with dichotomies like good and evil, you know. But would you say that the world is splitted into black and white? I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but it seems a bit like... Yeah,
I get what you see. Like, the first album was called Chiaroscuro, which is like harsh shadows and bright light. So that I get what you're saying. But I think definitely the world is not black and white. The world is complex, and which is why it makes it so interesting. And just people are so complex, you know. I personally don't really believe in evil, actually. You know, I think there's just like a lot of circumstances and situations and brainwashing that makes people do evil actions. And it's definitely a complex world that, yeah, we're so inspired by people in general. That's like the thing we always write about.
Mm. Yeah, I just agree. I think we try to, tell people that the world is not black and white, even though maybe the name Chiaroscuro and everything refers to that. It's like the opposite.
Yeah.
It's because so many people tend to think that it's either this or that. And we want to show that there's so many things in between.
Mm. Yeah, the new album is definitely about the dangerous thing about saying it's us versus them, you know. Because the album is about holding bigotry dear, to hold things that aren't true dear, and to...
And you as well love colors.
Yeah.
Your clothes are very colorful, your long stockings, you can't see them right now, but we can see on stage tonight at the White Center, by the way. Yes, and your video clips as well. In the song Penny for Your Thoughts, in the end, there are a lot of colors.
Yeah, yes. That's kind of what we want to express with that video as well. Like, first we have all these just different colors separately, and then in the end we mix everything to show that this is actually better.
Find your own style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like playing children.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you shouldn't underestimate
crazy
that.
Crazy and paint themselves.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But this song is more or less a critique on your generation, isn't it? The between 20 and 30, I don't know which generation you would...
Yeah, but you know, we are a part of the generation as well, so it's a critique of our generation, but it's also a critique on us being a part of it.
Yeah.
It's just about that people seemingly care about the world, but it's mostly because they want to be liked. Which is, you know, just a natural thing. But it's also a little bit, there's a double moral going on, which is, yeah, it's not that good.
Which double moral do you mean?
For example, just spreading the word of something important, but you do it because you want people to think you're into the case, you know?
You much might more.
You don't really care about the case, you just care about being portrayed like you care, you know? Especially with social media, just... Yeah.
You have this like button on Facebook, and people get like... they feel better when they get more likes very often. So that's why they post things that they think is important.
And there's quickly this echo chamber developing.
Yeah, but of course everybody wants to be loved. I mean, it's a kind of somebody thinking of me and think it's good what I'm doing here, what I'm posting here. I don't know if you have to critique this so sharply, no? And it's always... When I read critique on our generation, for example, for me it's always like a bit the old-fashioned zeitgeist. You know, you always critique the younger generation or maybe your generation that everything's going wrong at the moment.
Well, actually, everything is not going wrong at the moment. And I mean, this is also something we feel quite strongly about, that there's a lot of... It seems like the world is near ending these days, you know. That's just because we get so much information. And this is kind of where the core is also. We get so much information and we don't know always if it's true. We wrote these songs like 2 years ago and it's kind of embarrassingly true up to date right now with the whole fails news stuff. But we truly think we should really just share facts, you know, be focused on facts instead of sharing, prejudgments about, for example, people or other things. It's just this trend now going that it's not so important to check your facts. You just put something out there and people take it for a good fish, as we say in Norway.
Yeah. That's the problem. How many people might see the world more black and white, because they see stuff on social media and they, if they like more of that kind of post or articles, then they get more of that as well. And then, some people don't read what they're posting even. They see a headline and think this is good, and then it's just false news. Completely, and people will just read it and think, oh wow, this is really bad, and then they see the world more black and white.
Yeah, especially for us as well, just having a lot of, for example, friends on Facebook that are into the art scene and are maybe left-winged as well. That's the only thing we see, because, you know, it's like an echo chamber. We just like each other's things and we don't really see the whole picture. We do see like a black and white thing. It's us versus them, and I think that's very dangerous.
We do it ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to not to. So it's important to just shed some light on that issue, I think. So we selves also become more aware of it.
So we have more possibilities than ever before, but at the same time, more responsibility because of these possibilities. But do you think we don't use this responsibility for good thing or to change the world?
We do actually. I mean, like I was starting to say, this is actually the best times in history. You know, this is the most peaceful time in history ever. It's going really great because we are taking actions
in Europe, at least.
In Europe, and other places as well. China is probably one of the best, all of a sudden turning and doing like a lot of great things for the environment right now. And but we just hear about all of the problems. It's at least a good reminder to remember that this is actually the best time in history. And
But therefore, we shouldn't give up to make it even better, because we could do so much more.
Yeah, things are possible now.
Yeah, and there's still a long way to go. So, yeah. We can talk about this for hours.
Okay, let's switch to your hometown, Oslo. It's as well the theme, a topic in the lyrics on this record. What relationship do you have? Do you are all more or less Oslo-based?
Yeah, we are.
What? It's a kind of love-hate relationship to your home?
Yeah.
What's a special thing about Oslo?
I think it will be probably like that in any kind of city you live in or that you move to after leaving your parents. And we, you know, we've been there for some years now, just growing up and being adults. And it's just very intense when you have a dream like this, you know, doing music and you just follow it. And it's just like when you actually have a relationship with a city, you can go into the streets and this specific street, I got this beautiful memory from. And then you go to the next street and there's like this really painful one. So it's just a lot of the stories from the songs comes from things that happened in Oslo. So that's why we mentioned that in our press release, because that's like, when you think about all the songs together, it's definitely like an Oslo album somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's not a kind of political critique on Oslo.
No, not really.
So what the
it could really be any
are doing and the
it could really be any town.
Okay.
It's just Oslo is the town that we live in.
Yeah. And is it as well or Norwegian in general? The title "Dear Bigotry," is it? Do you mean your country as well with this term bigotry? Is there
definitely,
a thing?
Definitely, yeah. It's happening.
Because yeah, of course, for us, you know this, that Scandinavia is really progressive, and I wouldn't say it's bigot, but maybe.
Yeah, I mean that it's kind of it's annoying us a little bit. It's strange to say, but they call us the luckiest people. We're obviously lucky people, but we're also like the happiest people, which doesn't make sense to us at all. And there's so much going on right now, which is also happening all over the world with the refugee crisis. And our government is just so embarrassing. You know, the minister of the whole thing was called Europe's Trump, you know. It's like, I think Norway is really bigots these days when it comes to its government, you know, of being portrayed as a great, friendly peace country. It's not really that at all. And we earn most of our money on weapons. And
I mean, we could be happy, like, individually. We are very, very lucky to, as Norwegians, to have it like we do. But
I mean, there's a lot of safeness, you know, but there's not necessarily a mental illness that are the best in the world. I don't think so at all.
No, but and there's also this thing with the government, for instance, that we could do so much better when we have all these resources.
Yeah.
We have all this oil money that we could use for something good, and luckily there is an election in the fall.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Then, because I think we have been so embarrassingly stupid the last couple of years.
Is there as well a populist which has some good chances to...
People don't want to call it that, but you can definitely call it that. There's a party in power now, which they've got their playtime now. It's time to get rid of them.
I think people are tending to look the other way now, because they saw that maybe this wasn't the best option to have in our government.
So. You can just look to Iceland, and they're just doing all of the right things instead of us. Mm. It's quite embarrassing, to be honest.
Yeah. It's going to be better, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope we will not have them in parliament in autumn, so we have election as well. And the populists are quite strong, getting stronger and stronger. I really like the last song, Synthesis.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Cool.
It's one of my favorites. It's the climax in the end with this orchestra, so strong. And in the lyrics, it's about a bit of the synthesis between you and your city, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what kind of synthesis is it? So what is the result of this? combination.
This is the love-hate relationship we're talking about, and it's actually a song directly written as a love relationship. You know, if you don't know it's about Oslo, it might just seems like it's about a girl or a boy, but it's about Oslo, and it's just the same. You know, you have to. It's like you have to be away from each other sometimes, and you have to come back and realize what you have together. Just an intense relationship. Hence the intense build up in the end.
Mm.
So you don't have any real love songs on this record? So you just can interpret them like you
do? I don't think so. No, not really. There's always going to be like references to our personal private lives as well, I'm sure. But right now I can't really recall any specific love song now.
But what is like a real love song? It can also, I mean, you mean between two or more human beings, like... I mean, you can also interpret it the way you want. As you said, you can also, synthesis could also be a love song to a person.
Sure.
And Sin You Sin as well.
Sin You Sin is obviously, not obviously, but it's definitely kind of a love song. Yeah, it's about the concept of making love, and but it's as a sin, you know? And
making love, you mean sex, or?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and so the view of church. Now we are at the third and last topic on this record.
Yeah.
Which you really like. It's the critique on religion or church.
Yeah, we come from a Christian background. And it's just the concept of sin and the concept of shame, which is just simply two words that we think shouldn't really be in the vocabulary, you know? It's just... it's obviously human made, and it has nothing to do with religion, in my opinion. So it's Sin You Sin is just a simple song about maybe we sinned, but we made love, and love is the most important thing.
And cannot be a sin.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so controversial, or it's so contradictional.
Yeah.
to put those together and
So it's especially the term sin you don't like, you criticize. I mean, of course, there are things which are immoral or wrong or bad. So, but sin is especially connected with sexuality, for example, or things which are not bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, in all religions and in you know, humanism, you find the same values, you find... how you should add and how you shouldn't act, you know. But then there's tons of different things that humans call sin.
Which doesn't
make sense. And I think you should just experience, and then you'll see what is bad and what isn't, you know.
It's very absurd that, for instance, things like making love can be a sin. Because that's like one of the fundamental things in life in general. I mean,
for us, it feels like that, but we do really respect that people do believe different things, and we've been criticizing religion a lot, but we also truly believe that we should respect everyone, you know, and for their beliefs, and you shouldn't. Think they're ridiculous, you know. It's just like, that's not for us.
Mm. The song Glossolalia, which voice is it in the beginning? Is it from a movie?
It's from a preacher.
Okay.
And he's speaking in tongues with a large group of people. It's from a clip. And it's just a very fascinating... It's kind of one of the extremes of Christian beliefs. Like some groups... For example, in Norway, speak in tongues. And for us, we just use it as the term of speaking in tongues. And we say that Oslo speaks in tongues to us.
Okay.
That it feels like there are so many different voices telling us what to believe in, what to do. It's just a finding yourself song, really.
Mm.
and trying to follow your dream, which sometimes feel ridiculous and sometimes feel like the right thing to do. It's kind of being torn apart between different directions and voices.
Yeah, cool. And it's something new for you to work with this style, isn't it?
It's
about 1 minute or so, or I don't know.
We have used samples before. I love doing it. Like in the old days, we always brought along this cassette player, like this tape player from my father. We had like cassettes of different people talking or different sounds, and we just played it in like an intro and outro. So we did it a lot live, but this is just the second time we use it on an actual recording. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Tonight you are going to play in Freiburg here for the second time, I guess?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for the second time at the Waldsee.
Yes. So
you know this place already. It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
This little lake.
Yeah.
Love it.
We're really looking forward to play there again.
The weather is not that good. I hope people will come out.
Yeah, please come out.
Bicycles. Yeah.
This is a good reason for coming in.
Inside with us.
Yeah.
It will be warm. Definitely.
Warm and peacefully and cozy.
Yeah, well, definitely.
See you there.
See you there. Thank you so much, Anna Stray Orchestra.
Thank you so much.
Now we are going to listen to a cappella song from you. Which one will you sing?
We're going to do a song called For the Country.
It's from your last record.
It's from our second record, yeah.
Mm.
Just for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.